Thank you, and our pastor, Brother Chick.
Amen. Let's turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. A lot of preachers don't like to preach on this subject because it brings the devil out of people, I guess. You want to get the devil upset, you preach one or two messages. You preach about hell and the lake of fire, amen, or you preach about the devil. And I guarantee you, he'll have people stirred up and you'll see heads bopping in and out. Now listen, I'm going to preach on the devil today, and everybody stay in your seats, amen, unless it's an emergency. You'll see today kids will holler out or something. Devil doesn't want you to hear this. And I'm anticipating, and I'm going to trust God if we get through this and everybody can receive something. Amen? Let's turn there. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Like I said, I think these are subjects you need to preach on at least once a year. Amen? If not more. Father in heaven, now open up our hearts. I pray he, the Holy Spirit, will be able to minister to our soul. Defeat the devil today, Lord, in our services. Let your name be raised above all other names. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I suppose that the majority of us that are here this morning feel we have a very safe life. We live in the heart of America, and not too much happens around us. Most of us here pretty well move through life without fear for our life. And we like that kind of security, amen? But believe it or not, life is not that secure for millions of people in the United States and billions of folks around the world. I'm not talking about fleshly harm, no. And I know there's a lot of that going on today. But rather, I'm speaking of spiritual harm to mankind. As we read this morning, Satan is real. I know the community wants you to believe Satan's a figment of somebody's imagination. The Discovery Channel, it puts out stuff of the History Channel that downplays Satan. Well, that's what Satan wants, but he is very real, he's very alive, and he's very active. Amen? Okay. Satan is real, and he's vicious. He's nothing that's a play toy. I was out visiting with my brother-in-law for our bus, and the mother was trying to wax eloquent in spirituality, and she says, "I try to teach my children to love Satan because we're supposed to love our enemy." I said, "You've gone wrong there, amen? We don't love Satan, even though he is our greatest enemy. He's not a toy. He's not some cuddly little kitten. The Bible likens him to a vicious lion, amen? If he can, he wants the power and has the power to distract or to dilute the seriousness of a person's soul. Your soul is the most valuable commodity that you have. Your soul is the most valuable thing that you have in your home. The souls that live in your home are more important than any other thing you can bring into the home. Be it new cars, new clothes, new technology, the soul is much more important. But the devil doesn't want you to be concerned about your soul. How does the devil work? Well, we're going to look here. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 28, if you can join me just for a moment. I was at a funeral this week, and the pastor closed about 15 times. And he said, that's the way preachers are. They close about 15 times. Well, the membership of our church looked down at their pastor and said, "He's talking about you again." But I'm not about to close. I just got started. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15, the Bible says, and he's speaking about Satan here, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." I want you to understand that Satan was a created being from God Almighty. God cannot do anything but create perfection. When he created man, he created him in perfection. But he also gave them free will whether they decide what path they want to take. Satan did pretty good until the time he started to raise and think of himself greater than Almighty God. He says, you were created perfect and you were created righteous and holy until iniquity or until sin was found in you. He tried to become higher than his creator in the book of Isaiah. Would you turn to the book of Isaiah with me, please, just quickly, in the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, the Bible tells us in chapter 14, Isaiah chapter 14. I'm sorry, I'm coughing. I usually break the carbs out when I teach Sunday school class, but I didn't teach Sunday school class this morning, so bear with me just for a moment. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, we know that Satan was called Lucifer, which meant son of the morning. When I think about the son of the morning, did you get up early enough to get outside while the sun was shining? Wasn't that beautiful this morning? Well, the Bible says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. The Bible tells us that Satan, in his beauty and in his pride, that he decided he was going to be better than God. He says, I will ascend above the angels. I will ascend even above God Almighty. I will be as God Almighty. And God looked at him and said, Satan, or Lucifer at that time, Lucifer, you think yourself something, but you are a created being. You're one of my creations. And as you try to lift yourself up, I will bring you down. And we know that God did take him out of heaven. We know that when he left heaven by the hand of God, that he had enough power and enough pull and enough hierarchy, if you please. He was one of the three archangels that there are. We know that Satan was an archangel, and we know that Michael was an archangel. And who was the third archangel? Well, you go look that up and you'll find out. I gave you two. He was an archangel. But we know that when he was cast out of heaven, he had followers that followed him that had the same attitude to lift him up higher than God himself. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 4, it says, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and he did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to deliver her a child as soon as it was born. I want to tell you something. When Satan was cast out of heaven, he drew, if you please, the third of the host of the angels in heaven. Now, we have no idea how many angels there are. They're beyond our numbers. But he had control of at least one-third of the host of the angels in heaven that was thrown out with Satan. Now, they had a destination. Some preachers will stand before their members and say, the angels are loose on the earth today. That is not true. There's only one angel that's loose on a fallen angel that's loose on the world today, and his name is Satan. We see how much trouble Satan gives us. Can you imagine all the angels being turned loose? You say, well, what are these things that we see? They're unclean spirits. They're called demons, but they are not anyway anything like the angels. The angels that left their first estate that was cast out of heaven with Satan has a destination. The Bible tells us where those angels are right now. If you'll turn with me to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 4. If God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to where? To hell. and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Our Bible teaches us in 2 Peter that these angels were cast out of heaven and they found now their lodging in hell. They're chained in the sides of hell, the Bible tells us. Not only in 2 Peter does it tell us this, but in the book of Jude. Turn with me to the book of Jude. And in verse 6 it says, "The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day." So we know Satan is the only fallen angel that's turned loose today. The rest of them are in the sides of hell, according to 2 Peter and according to the book of Jude. Now, if you want to get into some prophecy, which we're not going to get in today, we see four other angels are chained in the bottom of the Euphrates River, set to be turned loose during the Great Tribulation. But I'm not going to get into that today. But I want you to understand that Satan is a drawing power away from God. Never does he ever let anybody just rest to gradually go to the Lord. He's always drawing people away from God to himself. He knows he has a time limit. He knows he has a destination. That time limit's when Christ Jesus lays hold on him and throws him to the lake of fire. As we read in the book of Revelation. And so he's always trying to drag people away from God. He tries to appear to be harmless, while at the same time he brings death. Over in the book of Genesis chapter 3, he seems to be harmless, but his intent is always death. In the book of Genesis chapter 3, in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord hath made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Well, first of all, he incarnated himself in a subtile species of animal. We know him as the snake today, but the snake had legs. And he was just, in the Garden of Eden, it was just an animal that was a reptile, as we know it, that was just so calm. First thing I'd want to know is, what's that animal doing talking to me? It's not Mr. Ed, amen? That would be the first clue, something's not going right here, amen? But he asked, "Didn't God tell you that you can't eat of the fruit of the garden?" And he just seems so innocent and so on and so forth. But as they go on, the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Well, she lied. He didn't say you couldn't touch it. He said, don't eat of it. Verse 17 of this chapter 2. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for the day that thou eat of it, thou shalt surely die." He didn't say, Miss Foster, he didn't say you can't touch it. He said, don't eat it. And if you eat it that day, you're going to die. Okay? So we have it. In verse 4, "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall surely not die. But God said, I'll die." Oh, you're not going to die. Don't worry about it. But God's word is true. He lies to her saying, "You shall be as gods." What did the devil want? What did Lucifer want? What did Satan want? He wanted to be just like God. And he goes to God's creation and say, "You're going to be just like a god. Go ahead and eat it." He said this in verse 5, "For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And with it, Eve took of the fruit and ate it, and then gave it to her husband, and he ate of the fruit. Now, there's been a lot of thoughts what the fruit was. I always tend to go to a part of the fruit that I don't like. Amen. Some people say it's an apple. Couldn't have been an apple. Apples are good. Amen. Some people say, well, it's a banana. No, bananas are good. I think it's a pineapple. I mean, it's even got pokey dot things on it that will stick you and stuff. I don't know what it was. Whatever fruit it was, they weren't supposed to eat of it. And you said, but look, brother Chick, they ate of it and they didn't die. Au contraire. When they ate of it, they died. Their soul was perfect. Their soul was a life-living soul. But at that moment they ate of it, they were dead in their trespasses and sin. You say, how do you know? Because at that point when God came down to visit them and have communion with them, he had to kill the lamb for a sacrifice for them. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to remember before you let Jesus come into your heart, your soul was dead in trespasses and sin. If you're here today and you've never let Jesus come into your heart, though your flesh is alive, the Bible says your soul is dead in trespasses and sin. Satan would like to try to drag you away from God when God, through the Holy Spirit, is always trying to woo you to come to God, to have life. To be quickened, if you please. So he gets them both to eat the fruit. Both began instantly to understand the result of their conversation and their following Satan. Immediately they saw that they were naked. Immediately they saw that they were ashamed. Immediately they didn't want conversation with the Father anymore. When he came down, he said, Adam, Eve, where are you? It wasn't he didn't know where they were at. He was asking, where are you now that you listen to Satan? You know where they were at? They were lost, in need of a Savior. Satan uses techniques today to drag souls to hell. He deceives people today. He fills folks' lives up with too many things to do. Oh, I would like to get saved, but you know, preacher, I've got to do this. I've got soccer. I've got basketball. I've got football. I've got a speech contest. I've got all these things I'm doing with my kids. Oh, preacher, I'd like to think about God, but I'm too busy at work. Oh, preacher, I would like to, but hey, we need to quit doing this and remember that our life is as a vapor and we need to go to Jesus now. We need Jesus now. But I'm busy. I don't have time for church. I don't have time for God right now. Or I work hard all week and I need a day off and Sunday's my only day off. I work on a Sunday. I don't even get Sunday off, folks. I'm here. If I only had one day off and it's on a Sunday, I want to make sure I gave it to my God. Amen. He lies. Satan lies. He tells you, I have plenty of time to do the church thing. Let me get my family raised. Let me get my business. And when I retire, I promise I'll start doing the church thing. I'll start serving God. But you know, that time never comes. I promise to get saved. When I was a little boy, heard of a story of a singer named Buddy Holly. He was a teenage boy and he could sing Peggy Sue. The story goes that when he was a young man, God called him to the ministry, but he wanted to go make his fame and his fortune. I'll give God my time a little bit later on after I get my fame and fortune. His parents wrote the testimony that he'd had enough of the world and he'd had enough of the Peggy Sue's and all that other stuff. And he called his parents up. He says, I'm coming home and I'm giving my life back to the Lord. But before he could get home, God says, enough is enough. And he lost his life. It's not when we want to do it, folks. It's when God beckons us. The devil will lie to people and he'll make them think my life is okay the way it is. Look at me, preacher, I'm successful. I have a great family and everything's going good. Maybe on this earth, but I want to know what you're doing spiritually. How are you spiritually? Is your heart right with God? That's what's important. He fills other people's hearts with lies, saying, well, everybody goes to heaven when they die. Haven't you heard that so much on that stupid TV? I don't think anybody dies and goes to hell, no matter what the Bible says, because on TV, everybody goes to heaven. Well, what did God say? God says the only people who go to heaven is the ones who go through the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been to funerals. And I've heard preachers preach people into heaven that I knew better that didn't have Jesus in their heart. How do you know? Because I talked to them about their soul. And they said, preacher, I'm not interested. But some guy will get up there and try to preach them into heaven. You can't preach somebody into heaven. It's the experience they have with Jesus Christ while they're yet alive. See why the devil hates this kind of preaching? Some people say, you know, preacher, I'll find my way there. I found my way through life, and somehow, some way, when I stand before Jesus, I'll talk him into it. You can be the best negotiator in the world, but if the blood of Jesus Christ is not applied to your life, there is no hope for heaven. Other people say, I'll just walk to the light. How can you walk to the light when you're walking in darkness? For the Christians this morning, I want you to understand and know this to be true. Satan is death. Satan is a destroyer. Don't ever forget that. I think sometimes as Christians we become lulled by Satan himself to think, well, you know, bless my four, no more. No, sir, no, ma'am. We've got to be concerned with the folks that are around us. They need our Jesus. But why do I worry? I'm saved. Aren't you glad somebody worried about you? We must all proclaim that Jesus gives life and Satan is a destroyer of life to everybody. They need to know that Satan's going to drag them to hell. There are churches here today in Enid, big churches, that won't even talk about hell anymore, talk about Satan anymore. They said it makes people upset. Yes, it makes them upset because they have a need. And we have an answer to that need, and that's Jesus Christ. We need people to get upset. We need people to start questioning, where am I going to heaven? Am I going to heaven or am I going to hell? Where am I going to spend eternity? Christians, that's why we need to be in church on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. That's why we need to be out on visitation on Tuesday nights and Saturdays. And that's why we need to be at church on Wednesday nights, that people can see us serving our God that loved us and died on the cross for us. Let him see us grab our Bibles and tuck it underneath the arm and load up the family and get in the car and go to church. That's a testimony. We need to show them that we have love for them and concern. That's why Jesus came. He's dragging people you love to hell. Do you understand that? Satan is dragging people you love to hell. What's sad about it? We just let them go. Maybe it's our family. Maybe it's our friends and our co-workers. Maybe it's the neighbors next door. We're not reaching out and telling them God loves you so much. He wants you in heaven. You must repent. Isn't that what Jesus preached when he came off the Mount of Temptation? Jesus began in Matthew chapter 4, and Jesus began to preach, you need to repent. Yes. You need to be prepared. When I think about the fire, many years ago, and I, again, it's been so long, I hope I get the story right. The Colemans back here, they've been coming to our church for years, and they went on vacation to Disney World, and they had a trailer, and while they're at, and again, if I get this wrong, forgive me, but I'm going to give you the gist of the story. While they're at the trailer park, it got a light frost in Florida. I know that sounds weird, but Florida does get cold, and this one trailer put on their heater. The bad thing about it is this heater wasn't properly hooked up or something, and that trailer caught fire. Isn't that right? Am I saying it right? It's been a long time. It caught fire. Well, as the fire raged, you know, it's a scary thing to run to a fire. I'm going to tell you, it's a scary thing. You always think about the propane tanks and everything else, and you've seen the television shows where everything blows up. I don't know how a wooden shack that's empty, somehow a wooden shack blows up on TV. Amen, Jesse? I don't know how it happens. It was empty, but it goes kaboom. So every time you think about a fire, you think something's going to blow up. But this was real life. And all the people standing around and watching it, and they said, well, it's too late. They're already dead inside. Nothing. But yet the Colemans heard a moan and said, come and help us. They were able to get, if I remember right, was it a grandpa or a daddy? Was it grandpa? A grandma? They were able to get a grandma out. With nobody else happening. Because see, it's okay because everybody's dead already. But wasn't there like a 14, 15-year-old girl that died in that trailer? And everybody was content to standing around watching them die and burn. You say, that's terrible. But you know, folks, people are dying and going to hell today. And we're standing around saying, well, it's okay. They're lost anyway. And we can't reach them. We can reach them by the grace of God. We have the Lord Jesus Christ to aid us and to give us the words to speak to compel them to come in. We just got to care. We got to want to help somebody. We got to want them in heaven with us to the point that we're willing to sacrifice anything to bring a soul to Jesus Christ. Amen. I thank God for my Sunday school teachers. I thank God for my parents and my preacher, those who worked on the staff when I was little before I got saved, that they loved me enough to want me to get saved. I want you to know God loves you and we love you and we want you to get saved if you're not sure of heaven. We need to help folks. Whether you believe it or not, good people die and go to hell. Good people die and go to hell. Do we even care? I hope we do, folks. Do we care enough to change our lifestyle? It's sad to say, but there are people out there that are Christians that their friends say, man, if they're a Christian, I don't want to be a Christian. No, we don't want to live our Christian life like that. That's not what our faith is about. We ought to live our life in such a way that people say, I want a life like that. I want happiness. I want peace. I want contentment. So many Christians live their life to a point where people don't want their life because it's no different than the life that they're living right then. You see, if you are saved, you don't want to have that attitude, well, I'm not going to do anything about it. Folks, we've got to love folks. You say, but it's none of my business whether they're going to heaven or not. Let me ask you something. If it's not your business, whose business is it? Because Satan is making it his business to drag them to hell. Whose business is it? I'm going to tell you this, that God left his people on this earth to make it their business. If he didn't want us to try to bring others to him, he wouldn't have told us in an example to go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that his house may be filled. If he didn't want to make it our business, he wouldn't have told us in the book of Acts, go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. If he didn't want it to make it our business, he wouldn't have told us in the book of Matthew chapter 28, all power is given to me in heaven and earth, Jesus says. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all things. I'm telling you what, God's made it our business, and we need to make it our business, folks. It's a sad thing to go to a funeral and preach it, not knowing whether the body that's laid before you is in heaven or in hell. It's a worse feeling when you stand behind the casket and you know that person did not accept Jesus as Savior. It's heart-wrenching and it makes you sick. The question that always comes to mind, who had the ability and who had the opportunity to share Jesus with them? Was there anybody? The person you witness to today might not be here tomorrow. And this has happened to me. I witnessed to a gentleman one Tuesday night, and by Wednesday morning, he was dead. You say, well, that just happens every now. That happens more often than you know, folks. Maybe you're the last person God's going to use to try to win somebody to him before this life is over. This is why the devil doesn't like to be seen for what he is. When something's wrong, they make light of it. You see on TV the sins that are on TV. They make a joke of it. They put it in a sitcom. I was noticing now, and I haven't seen it, and I don't know what it's about, but now we have a program called what? A little sitcom called what? Lucifer. And I guarantee you it's going to be some slipshod, funny little deal making Satan something funny when he's not. He's been left here to destroy. And what's sad, we're letting him destroy people's lives because we don't have enough love and concern to reach out to them. As a church, we want to keep growing, folks. We want to keep seeing people saved. But it's going to take all of us together to love God and love the folks that we're around. The people we come in contact with, we got to be concerned for their soul. But no other church cares. I don't care about any other church. I care about this church at 11th and Maple. I want people to go to heaven, don't you? If you're here today and you don't know whether or not for sure you're going to heaven, I want you to know that you can walk up here, somebody's going to open up this blessed book right here, and they're going to show you from the Bible what you need to do to get saved. And it's nothing hard, my friend, nothing hard. God made it possible that the very young to the very old can know Jesus Christ, the very rich to the very poor, the intellect to people like me, to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But it's like old Adam and Eve. What are you going to do with the information? Are you going to accept Him? Jesus, that is. Or are you going to reject Him? Jesus, that is. Are you going to continue to follow Satan? Or are you going to say, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm going to God. Let's all stand with our head bowed and our eyes closed and no one